This Week in Wealth is powered by Alpha Wealth Group. If you're serious about retirement and have saved $250,000 or more, call Alpha Wealth Group's Tom Fortino now, 630-934-1855 or alphawealthgroup.com. Alpha Wealth Group, retirement made simple.
This episode of This Week in Wealth is sponsored by Alpha Wealth Group. Tom Fortino is an investment advisor representative of Retirement Wealth Advisors, LLC, an SEC registered advisor. WGN Radio and RWA are not affiliated. Here's WGN Radio's Elise Glink and Alpha Wealth Group's Tom Fortino.
Good morning, Chicago. Welcome back to This Week in Wealth. I'm Elise Glink, WGN talk show host, a financial journalist, and the CEO of Best Money Moves, a financial wellness technology company.
And I'm Tom Fortino, the principal and founder of the Alpha Wealth Group here in the Chicagoland area.
So, you know, every week we're trying to weave together business news that matters to you. We're trying to answer the questions you have about your retirement, planning, investing, cash, income, tax, whatever, and of course trying to solve the rest of the world's money problems anyway. And Tom and I together are really trying to give you the opportunity to really understand and protect your money and create income today and going forward. Right, Tom?
I agree. I mean, there's so many moving parts, and if we can today, and any time we do this show, at least, you know, someone can come away and say, you know, I had one or two good ideas I got from that show. We've had a successful show, so that's the goal.
That's for sure. And we are getting people who are calling in, which is exciting, mm-hmm. And we hope to introduce sort of live questions on the show soon. But in the meantime, you can always call Tom at 630-934-1855 or go to alphawealthgroup.com and download all kinds of stuff, and you can make an appointment and you can get your personalized complete retirement plan, and it looks at asset protection, investments, your estate and legacy planning, taxes, and the guaranteed stream of income that everybody wants to have. Everybody wants to have income without actually doing work, right? I mean, at least I do.
Well,
but together you need a little bit more planning,
so
right?
Put the work up front to get to a point where you have the income on the back end for the rest of your life. So
there you go. That's a good way to do it. Well, actually, that kind of leads into what I wanted to talk about today, at least where I think we ought to start out.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, you know, what's been going on with, you know, the number of people who are actually leaving their jobs. So last year, we saw the single largest number of employees being involuntarily laid off, right? A huge amount of people, tens of millions of Americans literally lost their jobs. This year, we have the largest number of job openings in history, and we're also seeing the largest number of people voluntarily leaving their job, jumping to somewhere else. And what struck me this morning as I was looking at some of these numbers from Kiplinger's is that, you know, what are people doing with their 401ks? You know, all these companies that you're leaving, whether it's voluntarily or involuntarily, you know, all these companies have 401ks. People move jobs. They never think about moving. I think about my own employees who have left, and a lot of them, even though we constantly remind them to move their 401ks, they don't, or they don't do a second or third sweep to get all the rest of it. So I thought maybe today, Tom, you could run down sort of what are the options that people can do with their 401ks if they leave their job, and what are the pros and cons of each one?
Yeah, you know, Elise, I'm glad you brought this up because, you know, many times the 401k is our biggest asset, and certainly it's one of, if not the most common retirement vehicle we're relying on to provide that income we just talked about in retirement. So this is such a critical discussion we're having today, so I'm glad we're having it. But, you know, when you look at your 401k plan, there's so many moving parts. You know, there's the investment piece to it. What do you own in it? There's a tax component to it because every penny is taxable, whatever the tax rate is, you know, unless you use the Roth option. And then there's an estate planning piece to it. What I mean by that, who are your beneficiaries? How is it titled? And these types of things. So we want to understand these 401ks. Now, when you leave a job, you have options, as you said. We can talk about some of these. In fact, I think there may be more options that were discussed in this Kipling report. Mm-hmm. The first thing we need to understand is you can move this account to your individual IRA, your own IRA. It is a non-taxable event, right? So you can open an IRA. I always say you can open one in 10 minutes. You can go online to Fidelity or Vanguard or TD Ameritrade and put in your information. You will have an IRA. It's very easy to do. And so once you have an IRA and you create this new IRA that you control, that you invest, you can contact your 401k provider, or old, I should say, the old 401k provider, and you can transfer these accounts directly to your own IRA. Again, this is a non-taxable event. I know there's other options here, but that would probably be the most common.
And let me just point out, you don't have to call your old employer to do it, right? Because a lot of people might think, well, I don't want to call my old boss and say, hey, I need my 401k money handed over, bud. You know, you don't have to do that. That might be awkward if they laid you off. That's really awkward.
I don't like you, but can you help me?
That's right. Can you give me my money now? But you would actually call the institution, the company, whether it's Fidelity or Vanguard. So talk about that, because do you just go online and say, I want to do this? Do you call them on the phone? How does that work?
Typically, you want to call them. I mean, sometimes they will provide some options online, but you will have to reach out to them. Employer plans are unique because the employer has to initiate the transfer. So if you were employed there, you will contact, like you said, at least either Fidelity or if Nationwide, whoever handles your 401k or Vanguard, and you will say, hey, I want to transfer this. I've opened up an IRA. And that's why I say the first step in this process is establishing the IRA, because those are the questions they're going to ask you. Where do you want us to send it? What is the account number? What is the information? And so once you do that, again, you can initiate the transfer, and it is a direct transfer right into your IRA. So that's how it can be done. And then, you know, again, there's this portability between accounts. And so that would be, I would say, the first step. Then you can do other things after that once it's in your own IRA. You know, the benefit to that is, as I said, number one, you control it. Number two, you can pick the investments you choose. You know, you want to buy individual stocks, you can do that. You want to buy gold, you can do that. Precious metals, or if you just want to own funds, you can own the same funds typically that you own in the 401k. So this is the way for you to gain control of it. I would say that would be the first step. If you want to take the second step and start doing Roth conversions through that IRA, or you take distributions out of it, but that would be the first step. The reason I say that is probably the best step, regardless of what you may do with that money, is it doesn't create a tax bill. So get it into the IRA. From there, you can start to do some additional planning. So that would be the most common and, I think, the best step to take.
All right. So there's other things that we can talk about as well, and we need to take a short break. But you can leave it, although your employer really wishes you wouldn't. You may be able to move the money to your new employer's plan if you've started it. And, of course, cashing out, which is, you know, obviously the thing you don't want to do. Of course, sometimes there is a reason to do that. Like, I don't know. We can talk about that, too. But, you know, this idea of rolling it over and moving that money and then being able to control it, I think, is truly the best idea. Mm-hmm. You know, when we come... Hey, welcome back, everybody, to This Week in Wealth. I'm Elise Glink, CEO of Best Money Moves, and I'm here with Tom Fortino, founder of Alpha Wealth Group, and we're talking about money, specifically your money in retirement, and if you're a small business owner, even more so. If you want to talk to Tom directly, call him at 630-934-1855, 630-934-1855, and ask him to send you the personalized complete retirement plan with his five pillars of retirement: asset protection, investments, estate and legacy planning, taxes, and how to build that guaranteed stream of income. 630-934-1855. So, Tom, Inc. magazine says that one of the biggest retirement crises we're facing involves baby boomers who are also small business owners. I hate to say that I'm actually part of this because I like to pretend I'm actually Gen X. But anyway, their expertise, our expertise, is how to run a business. But that is so different from planning for retirement. And I'm getting to the place where people are asking me and my husband what our plans are and if we're thinking about it. And I'm sure we've got some small business owners who are up early worrying about their businesses on a Sunday morning. What can you tell them about how to think about this? And I know this is a really big topic, and we'll probably come back to it again. But, you know, for your small business clients and as a small business owner yourself, how do you think about this and frame retirement so that all those five pillars of retirement are actually covered?
Sure. You know, it's interesting. When you're a small business owner, I agree. You're somebody on Sunday morning, you're probably waking up worried, or you're always thinking about it. So my hat's off to small business owners. Of course, we're both small business owners. But, you know, the thing about it is you're not only the employer, you're the employee. You have to understand that it's a unique situation. And so there's opportunities here. I think, you know, the first thing is, of course, pay yourself a salary. Want to make sure you're paying yourself. But you can also do some interesting things over and above the business, which is you can set up retirement plans within the business, right? You don't have to just be limited to an individual retirement account where you're capped at $7,000 a year. You know, if you're over age 50, you can put $7,000 into an IRA. As a small business owner, you can set up a 401k. If you're self-employed and you don't have employees, you have more flexibility. You can set up what's called an individual 401k. It's as easy as opening up an IRA. And you can put up to $26,000 into things like these. So now you can take part of your wages or use that to start to fund a retirement. So I would think one of the big takeaways here that we talk about this, Elise, is, you know, I know you want to get caught up in the day-to-day operation. You have so many things going on. Small business owners have so much responsibility. But really take some time out to say, okay, I'm going to put a plan in place because I'm not only the owner, I'm an employee, and I need to start to contribute to that plan. And so, again, as an individual, you can set it up, even if you have employees. You know, it may be you can set up a 401k plan. You have to follow ERISA rules and rules as far as contributing there. But there's so many options to the self-employed or small business owners as far as creating retirement plans.
Yeah, I have to tell you, I met a woman who owns a successful small business. It probably has a little over $1 million, maybe $1.3 million in revenue.
Mm-hmm.
And she's been in business for a very long time. And she had no health insurance, and she was well into her 60s, and no retirement.
Mm-hmm.
Zero. Her retirement was, her plan is to sell this business. And I think she doesn't have any debt in the business. And so sell it and then take the $1.3 million or the million. Maybe she'll get $2 million for it. And that's going to be her retirement. And I said to her, well, if you get sick, what happens to that plan?
Mm-hmm.
And people, I think, who run these small businesses, they kind of take cash out of the business. They don't have a formal salary. They can run into tax issues. If they have contractors who actually are more like employees, they can run into tax issues. There's a whole bunch of planning that goes on with small businesses. But as it grows, sometimes you don't think you need more planning. But I've found that as I grow, I actually need more controls, more planning, more smart people who are experts in different areas to advise me on it, just to make sure I don't run into trouble for myself or my employees. And so you bring up such a great point that you really have to think about yourself as an employee, not just as an owner of the business.
Right. And so we want to take a look at, are we putting things aside? Can you talk to yourself as your own employee? You're an employee of a business. You're saying, okay, what type of retirement plans are you offering to me as an employee? And so from today's show, I hope if you are a small business owner, you're taking a look at putting some of these things in place. You know, if you're an S-Corp, you can do some other things. There's just so many moving parts. We talk about the five pillars. It applies to the individual and their business as well as it does to an individual who doesn't have a small business. You know, there's the retirement planning. There's a tax component to what you do. You can set up a 401k through your own business. You can actually fund them up to, if you're over age 50, almost $60,000 if you're, again, if you're self-employed, if it's your own business. You can set up a Roth 401k through your own business if you want to do that. There's so many different options that are available to you. And you have these other pieces, of course, as you said, you know, I don't think we have time to get in today, but, you know, should you be an S-Corp versus an LLC? There's tax advantages to that. What is the asset protection piece of your business? Do you have, you mentioned, what if someone is incapacitated? Do you have powers of attorney in place? Do you have any type of buy-sell if you have a partner? Do you have an insurance policy in place? These are types of things. I know we're getting off a little bit here on tangents, at least, but really when you look at your business, that's why I say the five pillars come into place. What is your asset protection piece? How are you protecting yourself against unforeseen events? What is the tax planning piece? Are you trying to contribute some of the money into a plan so now that comes off of your taxable income? That's an option. Also creating a retirement plan within that. All of these things come into play even as a business owner. So it really comes back to, I know it's difficult. You're very busy, especially as a business owner. All of us are busy. But really take this maybe as a call to action to sit down with someone or start to put a plan in place and look at the big picture and getting all, not just the retirement piece, but all, every aspect of your business and take a look at it.
Well, you know, I want to just go back. Maybe you said this, the estate planning piece. So let's say you have a small business and let's say God forbid, you get hit by a bus. This is what my business partner, Angus, is always saying. You get hit by a bus. Who takes over your small business? And if you've built a business that actually has $1 million or $2 million in sales and might actually be worth $3 or $4 million if you sold it, right, depending on the profitability, what happens to it? You know, who inherits that business? Who's going to run that business? And how do you actually turn it into something that would make money? And it's something that I think every small business owner should think about, unless you're running the kind of business where, let's say you're a consultant, or maybe even I'm trying to think of something that would just be you and you alone and doesn't really depend on anything else. Maybe you're a part-time accountant for different companies, right? You know, there's lots of different things where you're the only one. But if you're selling something, if you're out there in the space and you've got customers and you've got sort of a process and you've got things that you're buying and reselling, or you're building and reselling, you've got to think about a succession plan and what happens to the value of that business.
You do. And that's why if you set up the business as a corporation, that's number one. That is an asset protection piece. It protects from liability to a certain extent, right? That's that point. But now what you can do is, you know, there's two instances where there can be an issue. One is if you pass away, you're talking about, you know, that corporation can be titled, the shares of that corporation or the membership of the LLC can be titled to your trust. And so now, not only do I have liability protection, which is part of that asset piece, I've also got an estate planning piece in there too, which says this is tied to my estate plan. And so this is how you want to title those shares or the memberships in the corporation. So it's all tied together. And then if there's any incapacitation, you have a power of attorney that says in the event I can't act for myself, guess what? My spouse is, or a trusted person, or a child. And so now this is why we talk about being complete. You used that phrase before, at least about a complete plan. That's why when I approach these things, I say, okay, I know we started this discussion with retirement plans for small businesses, but there's these other
but
components.
But now it's an everything plan for small businesses.
It is, and this is why it's so important to, when we talk about really having a plan. There's all these what ifs, and you brought a number of them up. But this is why, you know, when you get on these discussions, you can go off in these different areas. But it can be done. That's the most important thing. You can have a retirement plan in place. You can have the corporation set up properly. You can have the shares titled properly. You can have all these other pieces that protect it. And so a succession plan, all of these pieces and everything's working together. That's what it's about. And so I would say that's where you want to get started here. Start to sit down and put these things in place.
Yeah, and I think that having somebody like you as an outsider, but with training and, you know, specialized knowledge, it's really helpful to have somebody like you take a look at a business and say, okay, have you thought about this? Have you thought about this? Because, you know, you might be thinking, oh, I need Tom's help so I can plan for my retirement. But really what you need is Tom's help so you can plan for the successful conclusion of your business. Anyway, I know, Tom, we're out of time again. It's always gets so interesting right at the end. Maybe we'll pick it up here next week and talk about some of the other things that small business owners should think about. But in the meantime, if you've got a question for Tom or you're interested in his five pillars of retirement, please give him a call, 630-934-1855. And in the meantime, you can find me at bestmoneymoves.com. You can go to alphawealthgroup.com and ask Tom a question. Click on radio, fill out the form.